All right, back here on the Connor Happer Show on 1620 The Zone. Always appreciate your guys' feedback, thoughts, anything you have for me, 402-951-1620. You can email Connor at 1620thezone.com. And you can tweet at Connor Happer, at Happer Show. It's later in the show. In about an hour, we'll have the tweet bag. We'll take all your guys' questions, thoughts that you want to bounce off of us. In that segment. And like I said, Baz and Parker will join the show today as well. So, Casey Thompson, Nebraska's new quarterback. It's theoretical new quarterback. He is one of the new quarterbacks. Assumed starting quarterback, anyway. Doing some more interviews. I know he sat down with Sean Callahan yesterday. I was reading a column that Sipple wrote with where he talked to Casey's dad, Charles, you may know. One of the themes that consistently pops out here from the early stages of, basically you're trying to get to the bottom of why did Casey Thompson pick Nebraska? Or why did Nebraska stand out to Casey Thompson right away in the transfer portal? And here's the answer. Here's one of the things that keeps popping up. I'm reading a quote here from Charles Thompson in the Sipple story. When you look at what Scott Frost likes to do offensively, which includes some dynamic stuff in the quarterback run game, you add that with what Whipple likes to do in the passing game, and I really think you have a candidate in Casey who can mesh and do both really well. Now, he's talking about the situation that he walked into as well. And one of the things that also came out or has popped out in the kind of initial round of talking that the Thompsons have done here is maybe didn't love how he was being utilized at Texas. Playing to his strengths a little bit more was something that they could have done to put him in a better position. Casey didn't run much at Texas. But when it flashed, it looked like a pretty good picture. And all of this is to say, I don't know if concern is the right word here, but And I think I like how organizationally they're putting this thing together. But one thing that we've seen in the first 4 years now of Scott Frost is they really depended on the quarterback run game. And they not only did they depend on the quarterback run game, they depended on it too much, to their detriment. Right? It was something that they just couldn't get away from. Now, that came in a whole bunch of different forms. They were dependent on it because at different points over the last 4 years, they didn't have the weapons around Adrian Martinez. They've been in close games. They didn't have a steady, conventional run game behind Adrian Martinez. But however it ended up, and Adrian Martinez's career at Nebraska ended up this way. He ended up running a lot. And he ended up getting hurt a lot. And by the end of the 4 years, we all felt exhausted by the fact that, you know, your whole offense was based off of, you know, I was making this case with the NFL example right now is like Josh Allen. The Bills know and understand that they can't have Josh Allen be the only part of their offense for an entire 17-game season. They had some up and downs. It's a very weird, unique offense when they're trying to figure out what else they could do right. And yes, when they get into situations where they really need Josh Allen to make a play, they can lean on Josh Allen to do that. But in the playoffs, things change. Now it's all Josh Allen, right? He had 5 touchdowns in their playoff win, right? He's doing everything. He's making all the throws. He's running the football. That's not sustainable over an entire season. And it scares me a little bit because I know Scott Frost, when they get in that situation, when they get into the whether it's 3rd and 3 or they need to convert on a huge play, they need to convert to keep them in a game, keep a drive going. Every time they were met with that kind of big moment, there's this big red button in the room, like in the control room, basically, and they had to pop the top off of it and press it. And they slam that thing a lot, you know? So my question is, and there's a lot of different facets to it. Can they avoid pressing that button as much? Or do you feel like you can make that work with Casey Thompson over a year, and now that you have some safety net below in Chubba Purdy, or maybe even in Logan Smothers, or maybe you just use Logan Smothers in the way that you use Adrian Martinez in the run game, but then you become a little bit predictable, and I know they don't want to do that either. And then it brings into the fold the major question of, how much of the offense is Scott Frost? It's blending concepts together, of course. It's doing a little bit of both. But how much of the offense is Scott Frost, and how much of the offense is Mark Whipple? And what does that offense even look like? So I'm really curious. And especially after hearing Casey Thompson talk about how he feels like he could run the ball a little bit more and they could do that a little bit, you know, they could utilize his strengths. And I'm all for that. Like, and the thing that you love about it is Casey Thompson extending plays with his legs. What worries me is the big red button that's still in the room. And that's design quarterback runs. It is at the root how Nebraska's been operating with the quarterback run over the past 4 years. It is at the root of the question of why can't they form an identity? Or at least one of the things at the root of it. How many times have we asked that to ourselves over the last 4 years? I just don't know. I don't know what this team's supposed to be. What are they? What's their identity? It was supposed to be so clear. It was supposed to be so, you know, obvious when they came over from UCF. And I think, you know, for the reasons that I told you earlier, talking about close games and, you know, needing to, you know, how the margin for error was just so thin. And they ran with the quarterback in a design way at UCF as well, but they didn't have to do it as much because they weren't in as many close games. They weren't in as many high leverage situations. But when they were, they had to use the quarterback run. Look at Nebraska's close games against, you know, teams like, great example. They played Ohio State close twice over the last 4 years. Adrian Martinez was starting quarterback in both those games. In 2018, I have the list in front of me. In 2018 at Ohio State, Adrian Martinez ran the ball 20 times. In 2021, at home against Ohio State, Adrian Martinez ran the ball 18 times. And I get it, right? If that's your best option. But they got so dependent on it, and it can work. in a one-off, in a one-game scenario. The guy has to stay healthy, and he's got to be a dynamic playmaker. And they leaned on Adrian for all that stuff. But you have to be really selective about when you use it. And they just weren't, you know. It goes both ways, because you have to be selective about when you use it, but also, you know, if it's your best option to win football games, then it's your best option to win football games. You want to press that button as much as possible. I get it. At times, over the last 4 years, it feels like it's lacked. I mean, this goes into the root of the identity question as well. At times over the last 4 years, it's kind of felt like it's been a little bit jumbled, right? And the reason is they're trying to win football games, right? And at a certain point, it kind of catches up with you, and you look back at the end of the season and say, oh my God, did we really? For example, in 2020. And by the way, this would include Adrian Martinez and Luke McCaffrey. 2020, they ran the ball out of all of the carries that they had, out of all of the rushes that they had. And there are some flaws in this, in these stats, and I've talked about this a little bit before. I got a spreadsheet that does this whole thing. Yes, Josh, it's true. There's another spreadsheet. This is one of my proudest my proudest spreadsheets, by the way.
Number one on your power rankings?
Yeah, it might be.
Okay.
It might be. So
there's a segment for later.
Out of all of the carries that they had in 2020, all of the rushes, and this would include sacks as well, so keep that in mind. Quarterbacks accounted for 48% of those carries. Compared to running backs, whose sole design when on the football field is to run with the football in their hands. Maybe not soul, but that's kind of what they're for. 37.5%. That's in 2020. That's a skewed year because you had one quarterback who could basically only run the ball. But even in 18 and 21, which I would call Nebraska's best two offensive years of the Scott Frost era, 19 and 20, you got lost a little bit. You're sitting right around 35% for quarterback carry share. That means 35% of the time that you run the ball, you're running it with your quarterback. It's too much. It's still too much. And those numbers are a lot lower than they were in 19 and 20 because they got extra dependent on it in those 2 years for a variety of reasons. But it's too much. So I don't want them just because it's like dangling the carrot. You know, Casey Thompson's here because, you know, they need a new quarterback. But also he has this ability to run the ball and this kind of want to be able to do that a little bit more. It's a very thin line, very fine line. When do you press that button? How many times a game do you do it? And what are the results of it over a year stretch? The thing that I liked when Nebraska was kind of trying to, when they were looking for an offensive coordinator, the thing that I liked about the idea of like the air raid, you know, since the Graham Harrell thing was kind of on the table. And Whipple has some of these concepts as well. But the idea that I liked about that so much is that the option, like the button that I was talking about, the big red button that says quarterback run, in the air raid thing, that's just taken away. The button isn't in the room anymore. It forces your offense to be good in other places. It forces your offense to be good as a whole, as a unit. And I think Nebraska spent so much time over the last 4 years, you know, trying to just, whether it's convert in a moment, they've got so solely focused on that idea that their offense has become overly dependent, and this is obvious, overly dependent on quarterback runs. So this is just a warning, I guess, right off the bat. Some of the quotes, they scare me a little bit. I love the idea that a quarterback can make things happen after the play breaks down. I love that. I think all quarterbacks should have that ability. And I think, you know, Thompson, while similar, you know, similar size as Adrian, probably doesn't quite have the same frame. I mean, they beefed up Adrian quite a bit in 2019. And you guys saw the results of it, and there was injuries that came off of that and a variety of other stuff. I don't think Thompson's that big. I don't know if he's capable of shouldering that load, and they have to kind of understand that. So I hope it'll be pared down. But I see those quotes about wanting to run it with the quarterback a little bit more, and it scares me. It scares me. It's something that I've talked about a lot over the last 4 years, if anybody's listened to me. But the more Nebraska runs it with their running backs in a conventional way, the better they are. That's just what the stats bear out. I have a spreadsheet. That's right. So I'll give this to you. We'll just use last year as an example. And like I said, these numbers are flawed in a way, but I think the sample size is so big that it's hard to kind of ignore. Running backs for Nebraska ran the ball out of the times that they ran last year. By the times they ran the ball, it was handed to a running back 61% of the time. So I have set that number as a threshold for a game-by-game basis. In games in which they fell below that threshold, so running backs ran it less than 61% of the time in any individual game last year, Nebraska had 5 of those games. Any guesses on Nebraska's record, Josh, in those games? 5 games.
I'm going to go bad. I'm going to go 1-4.
0-5.
Should have known.
0-5. In games in which they went above it, they had 7 of them, and they went 3-4. So it's not automatic, but it gets you close. And Nebraska's offense has to be better as a whole. And I think the revamping of the coaching staff, like that, this, you know, it helps all that, right? And you get fresh eyes, and maybe maybe Whipple walks in. Maybe I should send Mark Whipple the spreadsheet. But yeah. Whipple walks in, and he looks around. And he's like, that quarterback that you just had, how many times did he run in his college career? And he's not supposed to be an option quarterback? I mean, I don't put too much stock into this one, but look at the Iowa game from this past year. Logan Smothers, I mean, they exclusively ran it with him, basically. He had 24 carries in that game. And that game's different for a variety of reasons, like I said. Is a one-off. You knew that. You wanted to play to Logan's strength as much as you can. I'm not gonna knock Scott Frost for that one. But the numbers are interesting. It does scare me a bit looking at some of those quotes, but we'll see how things look in the spring. I'm going to hear from you guys on that or anything else on the show today. 402-951-1620. Get your tweets in for the tweet bag, which is coming up at noon. A little news in here. The Nebraska women's basketball game tomorrow is off. COVID. COVID where? In the Nebraska program. So Then the amended Big Ten Conference 2021-2022 forfeiture guidelines, the game will be postponed. And the conference will coordinate. But if it is not able to be rescheduled, it'll just go as a no contest, so a no play. Yeah. Man, I hope they can return from that one quick. I know they were missing Jazz Shelley the other day. And so, you know, you kind of looked at that and thought, now everybody's going to have to go through more testing, and that's kind of what happens. So now they're going to go through a stretch where they don't play at home for quite some time either. Just like, not quite like Creighton basketball, but kind of in that same realm. The Amazing Daniel tweets in on the JTech Construction Zone Twitter feed. He tweets, quarterback run game is great if it's not the primary run game. If we can establish running backs, it's absolutely a plus if we have a quarterback who can run the option draw or scramble for positive yards. I think Whipple balancing that as a plus. For sure. But it has to be, you have to establish the conventional run game first. The quarterback, like, if you got anything out of that spiel that I just went on, quarterback run game cannot be your entire offense. And it's felt like it has been at times over the last couple of years. And you think back to some of the times that you maybe felt the best about Nebraska football. I could go back to, you know, a few games at the end of the, pull this thing up again, a few games at the end of the 2018 season, right? Remember when they went 4-2 down the stretch after starting 0-6? What did they do in those six games? Divine Azigbo had our running backs. So, like, I'll just go through the last six games of that year. And Bethune-Cookman, you know, we'll include it, but, you know, just remember, it's Bethune-Cookman. 26 carries for running backs in the Minnesota game, in which they won relatively convincingly, compared to 15 for quarterbacks. 23 in the Bethune-Cookman game, compared to 9 for quarterbacks. Ohio State, who they had to lean on the quarterback a little bit more, still 27 running back carries in that game. 19 against Illinois, 21 against Michigan State, and then 15 against Iowa, compared to 17 quarterback carries. You can pick out these stretches where you actually, you know, regardless of win or loss over the last 4 years, is like, oh, you know what? This is an offense. This kind of feels pretty good. Definitely the latter stretch of 2019 when they were able to establish Divine Azigbo, or 2018, excuse me. How about the latter stretch of 2019? Here comes Dedrick Mills after getting off the milk carton. And we're like, what? Where is this guy? What? They didn't figure out how to use him until about the last three games of the year. He had 17 carries, 188 yards against Wisconsin. He had 12 carries against Maryland, and then Ramir Johnson came in and had 18 more because they were blowing out Maryland. And he had 24 carries against Iowa in a game that Nebraska never should have lost. 2020 was messed up because you really had no running backs that you felt like you could trust. Don't know why they didn't end up going back to Mills more. I think there was injury concerns there. But you ended up having to depend on Wandale Robinson, which ultimately led to his transfer. I cannot tell you how important it is for Nebraska to have an established running back. It's huge. That's why bringing in Grant, it's big. And having Ramir Johnson there. Now, is Ramir Johnson the guy that you can hand the ball off to 16 to 18 times a game? I don't think so. That's just my opinion. He's the most consistent of the backs, but I think he's probably better as a spell back. So, if they can establish that, yeah, sky's the limit for the offense. And then you could sprinkle in the quarterback run. You just don't want to have too many sprinkles. That's all. All right. We'll take a break here. Chris Basnett of the Lincoln Journal Star will join us next. We'll talk a little bit of Husker basketball with him. Do some football as well. Plenty to come with Baz on the Connor Happer Show on 1620 The Zone.